thank God for this privilege to be able to share the word this afternoon. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but today is the seventh day of the seventh month. And for those of you who know that the number seven is a very special number in the scriptures, it's the number of rest, it's the number of God. It has many symbolic references in the scriptures, so I believe that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I also have the wonderful privilege of having my beloved wife translate for me today. Praise the Lord. She's sitting back there. Could you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. She doesn't have an easy task. So we pray for her as well that Lord will help her decipher what I'm trying to say as well. Yes, sir. Amén, amén. Dios bendiga a todos los que hablan español en la casa. Amén, 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 amén. Un honor tenerles en nuestros medios. Orlando and Kissimmee is rapidly becoming another San Juan, Puerto Rico, or Ciudad México, or Caracas, Caracas, Venezuela. Amén. Many Latino cultures are being represented now in Central Florida. And it seems that everybody wants to come to Orlando. So we're blessed. I know that traffic sometimes gets hectic and sometimes it gets uncomfortable. But I believe what many men and women of God have said in the past couple of years, that God has a plan for the city of Orlando and for Central Florida. I know that we're known as the vacation capital of the world, but hopefully that'll switch around. It will be known as the revival capital of the world. Amen. We need an outpouring of the love of God and the power of God. Hallelujah. And I really want to thank the congregation and the pastors for having blessed Pastor Benjamin Coca from Cuba. Amen. I just spoke to him yesterday. He's in New York, in the Big Apple. He has a son over there, and he was greatly blessed. He asked me to greet all of you, greet the pastors. They had a wonderful time here in Central Florida, and the Lord is really blessing them. They're returning back to Cuba next month in August to do some. They have pastored a church over there, and they have a lot of work to do. Pray for them, amen, as they have some complications, as some of you may know, with the situation with the visa. And so we need to pray for them that God would expedite processes and that things can be arranged that they'd be able to return again. Amen. If you join me in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I have several English Bibles in my house, but they're all either King James or New King James, and I guess I need to update and get some more actual language. Amen. But thank God for Brother Jerry and Brother Jimmy. They're going to put some more modern language for your benefit, 21st century English. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11 says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Another translation says, but time and opportunity happen to them all. Would you touch at least two people and tell them, don't miss this opportunity? Father, be glorified as we speak your word this afternoon. Touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Sow the seed of your word, Lord, that it may germinate and produce fruit in each and every one of us for the glory of your name. You know our need. You know our circumstances. Speak to us in a mighty way. Let us not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. As we start a new week, Lord, let us have a week of victory. And let us, Lord, pinpoint those opportunities that you open for us, Lord, to not only be blessed, but also be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. There are several cliches or sayings concerning the topic of time that you may have heard of. One of them is, time is money. I think that was born and bred here in the U.S. Time is money, and the meaning to that is that the more time that we waste, the more financial opportunities are wasted. Another cliche is, time waits for no one. And I think out of those two, probably the latter is the one that I would like to concentrate on for just a couple of moments. Because sometimes when we grow up, because of not having any responsibility or burden, time is something that we see elapse at a slow pace. And so minutes are like hours, and hours are like days, and days as months. Once you start accelerating in life, you see that time almost reverses on you. And now hours become minutes, and minutes become seconds. And for those of us who are past 25, it almost seems as if the Lord has his foot on the acceleration pedal. Because it almost seems like years are passing by as weeks. We just transitioned into 2019 several months ago. And now we're on the second half of the year going on 2020. If you were raised in a church ambiance as I was, and you heard so many messages on the coming of the Lord, you almost did not believe that you would make it to the year 2000. And now we're almost in 2020. Now, I believe he's coming. But if there's something I've learned concerning that is, while he comes, it's necessary for us to plan and to be good stewards of the time that we have. Be good managers of what we have. Because time wastes for no one. It doesn't wait for no one. And also the other thing is that there are certain circumstances and events in our lives that if we are not careful and we are not looking and observing for opportunities, once they leave, they will never return. And you sit with people and they speak of moments that they should have taken advantage of. Moments that they should have been prepared for. Moments that they should have been looking for in order to be able to take advantage of them when they came. And so missed opportunities are sometimes experienced by us, number one, because we don't recognize the opportunity when it's in front of us. And the second thing is that sometimes we don't recognize because we were not looking for it in the first place. And so we have to learn how to rearrange our priorities. Somebody say priorities. When you have your priorities in place, you will know what to look for. You'll know what's number one in your life. And you will be able to recognize the opportunity when it comes according to the priorities that you have in your life. And that's why Solomon in Ecclesiastes, what we just read a couple of moments ago, he puts a twist on our thinking, because sometimes we think that it's all about who you know, who you're connected to, if you have enough money, or you have enough influence, or you know the right person, or you have the right amount of health, or you have the right amount of money. But this verse says that the race is not to the swift. And so it's not about ability. Your speed does not guarantee a victory in the race. It says that the battle is not to the strong. So our might does not guarantee a victory in the midst of conflict. It says bread does not go to the wise. So knowledge or information or data or intellectuality does not guarantee prosperity. Riches to men of understanding. So the more I prepare myself intellectually does not mean that I necessarily will have the most money. Or favor to men of skill. God is so good that he doesn't just qualify or look to those who have in order to give them the opportunity because they have. He has guaranteed that time and chance happen to all so that everybody on the face of the earth, regardless of where you come from or where you grew up or who you grew up with or your financial circumstance or your intellectual ability or whatever it is that you live, everyone gets a time and everyone gets a chance. Can somebody say amen to that? Can somebody say thank you, Lord? And so since time and chance happen to all, since time and opportunity happen to all, then I should be looking for opportunity and looking for a special time because I have no guarantees that if I miss it, I'll get another opportunity or chance to be blessed. And so I want you to look at this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. In verse 32, the Bible speaks about a special tribe, the men of Issachar. And God is a God of opportunity, and he gives everyone an opportunity. And before I get into this verse, I just want you to understand that every time that we speak of Israel, we speak of the tribe of Judah, and we speak of the tribe of Levi, as if those were the only two tribes of the nation of Israel. Judah, because we speak about the line of the tribe of Judah. That's where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes from. That's his tribe. And then the Levite tribe, which is the priestly tribe. But here is a tribe that is hardly ever spoken of. Not famous, not known, not recognized. But God has his eyes over everyone, not just over a few. And so even if you come from a pedigree that is not known or recognized, you still get a chance. You still get a time. Men of Issachar, one of the least known tribes of Israel. And I want you to see what the Bible says about them. It says they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood the times. They were looking for it. And they recognized it when they saw it. Not only were they looking for the times and understanding what the times were, they knew how to react in the midst of the times. Now I want to ask you a question and only you can answer it. Do you know the time that you're living in? Can we as a church recognize the times that we are living in? I wish that we can discern, examine through the Holy Spirit the times that we are living in because they're not just any time. I believe that we are in a prophetic time such as never has been before and never will be again. And so we must have the eyes of our understanding opened. Not the natural understanding, the spiritual understanding. And the spiritual understanding is first on the list for the sons and the daughters of God. How many are God's children in here? We're all God's children, correct? And so we must first think like a child of God. We must not think firstly in our nationality or ethnicity or financial background or cultural knowledge or natural understanding. We must first think with the mind of Christ. So we may be able to discern the times that we're living in. The men of Issachar understood the times. And because they understood the times, they were able to react correctly to the times that they were living in. And so what times are we living in? If you depend on CNN and MSNBC or Fox News or whatever channel would tilt the opinions according to their opinion, tilt the viewpoint according to their opinions, then you will grasp the wrong understanding of the times we're living in. Is it right if I say that? We cannot look at these times from a political viewpoint. I need five more amens. We cannot look at these times from a cultural or social viewpoint. Because the world's understanding and opinions are like the sea. The waves of the sea. They go up, they go down, they change, they fluctuate. In order for us to understand the times we're living in and have God's viewpoint, we got to get in the Word of God. And we've got to pray, we've got to intercede and align with the Holy Spirit to understand the times we are living in so we can react to them as God would have us to react. And so the sons of Issachar understood it. Let me put it this way. In the Hebrew, there are several ways to translate the word time. One of them is the word et, E-T-H. And all it means is just a succession of moments, elapsed time. Seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. There's another word that is used in the scripture that we read in Ecclesiastes, and it's a word that means moment, occasion. And it literally means an occasion brought by intercession. Let me digest that for a moment, and I hope you do as well. It's a moment that is perceived by intercession and prayer, which means we've got to get into God's presence. Yes? Disconnect from the world and connect to God. I'm not telling you to get off Facebook and Twitter, but sometimes we got to disconnect from the opinions of the world and connect to God's opinion. What is God saying? What is God seeing? What does God think? How does God feel about this circumstance or of this time? And so it means in a moment discerned by intercession, which means that the sons of Issachar, they did not just study the law or the scriptures in order to understand the times. That's one form. They interceded and prayed for divine revelation. Hallelujah. If you're not happy in the first 15 minutes, well, I hope you can stand the next 15. They prayed for divine revelation in order for their focus to be aligned with God's focus. That banner says becoming the church God sees. We can only become the church God sees when we see as He sees. So we do not become the church because sometimes we see graphics and images on social media and TV about how so and so church is doing it and how the church across the street is doing it and how the church in another place. I believe God has a design for every individual congregation, and God has a design for Catalyst, a design that cannot be found in a church manual or organizational construct or on TV or on a certain channel. It's found in the scriptures and in God's presence where we can download that divine revelation and know what He will have us to do, how He will have us to operate, and who He will have us to be. Tell somebody, say, you're an original. Stop trying to be the copy of someone else. You don't have to be the copy of your family or the copy of your neighbor or the copy of your coworker or the copy of a friend. Be who God called you to be. Be all you can be according to the design that the Lord has placed in you. Somebody say amen. They interceded. They received divine revelation to understand the times that they were living in. And so they were able to teach others how to react, what to do in the times that they were living in. Do we know what to do in this time? In Luke chapter 19, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Verse 41 through 44. Hallelujah. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, verse 42, if you had known, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. See, the word know in the scriptures is not what we say know in English. To know in English, we associate face with a name and then we say we know. But in the scriptures, the word know means to have relationship. It's an interchange, an exchange of information. It means sharing. It's taking time in order to know somebody, not just because it's their name, to know someone, their thoughts, their desires, their identity, not just their characteristics, who they are. And so Jesus is telling them, if you had taken time to know, to have relationship, and understand what time you're living in, it's hidden now from your eyes. The reason it's hidden because you were not looking for it. Since you were not looking for it, now it's hidden from you. It says, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side, and level you and your children with you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Now, he's speaking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in AD 70. So he's prophesying to the city. But the last clause in verse 44 is what gets me. It says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. In the other Gospels, he says, how many times did I want to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not have it? And here he says, you did not know the time of your visitation. You were not looking for me. Since you were not looking for me, you did not recognize me. So he came to Jerusalem and he ministered to that generation for 3.5 years, and they did not take advantage of his visitation because they did not know the time. They did not discern the time. Now, I know this might make you uncomfortable, but I have something in my spirit that I had to share, and I've been trembling since I got this. Because we just celebrated July 4th, and we're in the U.S. of A., the most blessed nation on the earth, irrespective of our circumstance or social circumstance right now, we're the most blessed nation on the earth. And I would just like to share with you that I believe that America has had a time of grace extended to it. I hope you capture this in your spirit and your heart. We have had a time of grace extended to us because of the church. Because of an interceding church, irrespective of the denomination, an interceding church has been remembered by the Almighty God, and a time of grace has been extended to us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have $20 trillion in debt. That is enough to bring us to our knees. And the only reason $20 trillion and a divided government has not destroyed us is because of an interceding church that has prayed to understand the times and how to react in the midst of it. And I understand that a lot of people are not in agreement with the individual sitting in the Oval Office. But I want to tell you, irrespective of lines and colors, the church right now is not under further persecution. Our messages are not denominated as hate speech. We have not been released from the ability to not pay taxes as a nonprofit organization because of God's grace. That doesn't mean I have to say yes, sir, to everything that is said or done. But I wish we thought as a church first. I wish somebody would hear me, please. That we would think as a church first. Before colors, before lines, before transcendence, before history, before routine, we would think as a church first and thank God, not the White House, God, that He has extended us a time of grace so that we can preach the gospel and reach people before the door of opportunity closes. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying that the window has closed, but I'm saying that we are in a time of grace and it is necessary for us to take advantage of the time we have. Let's share the gospel in love. Let's reach the lost at any cost. Let's continue with a missions vision, locally and globally. And let's continue to pray and intercede for a move of God upon this country as never before. Because Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nothing can go against the children of God who know the times they're living in and they know how to react in the midst of circumstance. The people that know their God. Excuse me for getting excited, but does somebody know God in here? Does somebody know that God is for you? Who can be against you? Does somebody know that if He's on your side, hallelujah, He will defend you and raise you up? Do you know that He is for the church in America? And even the government will not be able to stop the evangelism of the church because He's with us as a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. That's why I praise God for this church. Five years ago, a July 2014, had the wonderful privilege just walking up those steps for the first time. I've lived in Orlando for 31 years. Passed by Landstar Boulevard thousands of times. Always saw this church. Never came in. Never visited once. The first time in July 2014, in the midst of a very crucial time in our lives, my wife and I, ministry speaking. And once we walked up those steps, this might sound crazy to you, but for those who know the God, and those who know the times and discern, it'll make sense. We walked up and immediately felt a sense of home. No one had to give me a walkthrough, an introduction, nothing. I immediately felt like this was a place where God could heal my wounds. Where I could learn and grow and go above and beyond. And be trained and disciplined. A place where He could pour oil over our lives. And we have experienced that. How many have experienced that? How many have been blessed to be at Catalyst? Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. This is not just any other church. This is a safe haven. This is a city of refuge. This is a hospital. This is a restoration ward for people who have been hurt by the enemy, but they're tired of the same thing and they've come to see God with all of their heart and to know the times they're living in and not just be a pew warmer. I'm going to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. There is an anointing in this place. I believe the second half of this year is going to be greater than the first half. I believe God's going to do more in the next couple of months than what He did from January to June. And if we are discerning of the opportunities placed before us, looking for them and recognizing them, will be able to be productive believers. And so Mark chapter 5, verse 27, the sons of Issachar knew what they had to do. Jerusalem, unfortunately, was not aware of the time and did not know how to react. Mark chapter 5, verse 27. Here comes a woman who is sick. She's sick in her body, 12 years, with a hemorrhage. And she had spent all that she had, savings, 401k, pension plan, everything. She spent it on the doctors. No solution had been provided. For those of you who like to study in depth, she was considered religiously impure. And so the law said that when she was going through those hemorrhaging moments, her husband could not come close to her. Her children could not come close to her. Everywhere she sat or touched was considered ceremonially impure. 12 years. Not 1 week, not a couple of days. 12 years. But this woman was looking for her moment of healing. I believe she was praying and interceding for a single moment, a kairos moment. An opening in the spirit realm where she would find the solution in the midst of a long time of trouble. Is anybody here today looking for a moment of solution in the midst of a long time of conflict? She was sick for 12 years, looking for a moment. And then she says, when she heard about Jesus. Not a political candidate. When she heard about Jesus. Not about some plan that another country can devise to implement. No, no. When she heard, we need to hear about things. We need to hear about a person. And the name of that person is Jesus. Nothing wrong with talking about sports. I'm the first fan. I've been glued to ESPN all week to find out who's getting traded where. Nothing wrong to talk about whatever topic, but believers, as children of God, the first thing that should come forth from our mouths should be the name above all names. We should be talking to our family members and friends and neighbors about Jesus. Yes, I know things are hard in America, but Jesus. Yes, I know what the doctor told you, but Jesus. Yes, I know your job is having trouble, but Jesus. Put a but Jesus in the midst of every conversation. I assure you things will be different when you mention the name of Jesus. So it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Another gospel says, she said within herself. Now I know that's considered crazy now. Before it used to be called soliloquy. Conversations with oneself. Now you're considered crazy. My wife sometimes looks at me when I'm at home. And she sees me moving my lips. She says, are you preaching to yourself again? That's all right. David had conversations with himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? This woman spoke to herself, if I touch but the hem of his garment. Now, she was not a theologian, but she understood what that represented. Those rabbi mantles had, those were promises of the law. Those were prophetic declarations. To touch them meant you were touching the promises of God for the children of Israel. And so she understood the principle of Psalms 133, that the oil runs down the high priest's beard. And where does it end up? In the hem of his garment. She was not a theologian, but she understood the principle. All I have to do is just touch the hem of his garment and I shall be made whole. And what she did was, is she came out of her comfort zone. My goodness. She came out of her comfort zone and said, I've got to release. Now, she might have been bleeding on her way to meet Jesus. But even if she had been, nothing was going to stop her because she understood this is the moment. I've been searching for it. I've been looking for it. Here it is. The door has been opened. The window has been opened. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. And the Bible says, verse 28, she came behind him in the crowd. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Now she has a barrier of people who are close to Jesus. They're rubbing up on him and receiving nothing. With all due respect, I don't come to church just to have a religious routine. You shouldn't either. I say it in love. Because every time we gather together, there is a supernatural, I wish you would understand this, a supernatural visitation. Even on Wednesday nights when we pray, there is a supernatural opening of the Spirit of God to give strength and give solutions and give power and give guidance to our lives. And so there was a lot of people touching, receiving nothing, but she says, excuse me, get out of my way. I don't want to make a show. I just need to, excuse me, sir. I'm going to touch him and get out of the way. But once she got to Jesus and touched it, without him laying hands on her or saying one word, power came forth from him and immediately restored her. But she had to extend her hand. And I'm just want to close today telling you, if you're going to get it, if you're going to seize the opportunity and take advantage of this moment, you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone and go for it. Tell somebody, say, go for it. In the name of Jesus, go for it. You've tried it once and twice and three times. Try it again. If at first you don't succeed, try it again. Go for it once more. Go for it until you get healed. Go for it until you get delivered. Go for it until you get blessed. Go for it until you receive the solution, the resolution, the power, the answer. Will somebody just extend your hands right now and go for it? Go for it with a praise. Go for it with worship. Go for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Tell your neighbor, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Nothing is going to stop me. I need this. This is not just a blank request. I need this. I need a touch from heaven. I need an answer. I'm gonna... Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody give him praise and glory in this house. Somebody give him praise and glory in this house. Hallelujah. This is the seventh day of the seventh month. There's a window of opportunity. Go for it. Get your healing. Get your answer. Get your peace. Get your joy. Get your blessing. Get your answer from the Lord. Go for it. Tell somebody next to you and say, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. You've come too far. You've been through too much. You've cried too much. You've been battled on every side. The enemy has gone after you as a roaring lion, but you've got the lion of the tribe of Judah. Go for it. Go for it. The promise belongs to you. You're his child. You're his daughter. You're his son. Take hold of the promise. Go for it. Stand to your feet. Passive Christianity is an oxymoron. I'm not speaking about the individual character of the individual if you're more conquered and collected. No. What I'm saying is that to be a child of God and a follower of Christ, irrespective of your demeanor, that's not what's important. What I'm saying is that when the Holy Spirit resides in you, there's what's called a spiritual prompting. Which means at moments, there's a stirring
in the innermost part of your heart and your soul. And you can be in your home, or you can be driving, on the job, or wherever. And all of a sudden you'll feel something pulling you, not from the outside. It's pulling you from the inside. The Bible says that when Simeon, he had been revealed by the Holy Spirit, you shall not die until your eyes see the salvation of Israel. When Mary and Joseph came to the temple that day, the scripture in Luke says that Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit, which means that the Spirit did not take him from the outside and pull him. The Spirit pulled him from the inside and said, it's time to go. Your prophecy is about to be fulfilled, Simeon. But you can't stay where you are and see it fulfilled. You've got to get up and go for it. Last night when I was praying, I felt in my spirit that many people here have been asking God for confirmation to get active in the things of the Lord, to become more involved, and to release gifts, release deposits that the Lord has put in them. Well, don't ask for anything else. You got your confirmation right now. Go for it. Go for it. You have something to share, and we need it. So raise your hands where you are. If you're sick, if you're sad, worried, whatever your circumstance may be, maybe you don't have anything of that. You're happy and blessed, but even in the midst of that, God has something more. God has something else. He wants you to be looking for a moment that He's going to open. A door that He's going to open. An opportunity that's going to come by your way. And when you see it, beloved, don't sit in passivity. Get up in Jesus' name and grasp it. It's yours. It has your name on it. This window of opportunity that we have as a church in this country, let's take advantage of it. Let's preach the gospel in any form, any way, shape, or walk in communities, pray, intercede, whatever it is that the church has agendaed, and whatever you feel in your heart as well to do on behalf of the kingdom of God. Go for it. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. I humble myself, God. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. I thank you, Lord, for this moment that you have given us to begin the month of July. I thank you for the shepherds of the house. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to strengthen them in a mighty way. In each and every one of us in here, Lord, you know each and every family, each and every circumstance. I ask you, Lord, that you would cause us to rise above and beyond the circumstance and the atmosphere and be productive, fruit-bearing branches in the name of Jesus. Lord, as Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God. That every gift in this house would be stirred. Lord, let us be understanding like the sons of Issachar and know what times we're living in and know how to react. Utilize us, Lord, as a soul-winning, revival-producing vessel. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal any sickness according to your will right now. Lift up, Lord, the downtrodden. Bring joy in the midst of sadness. Bring peace in the midst of confusion. Bring an answer to our questions, Lord. Give us victory in the midst of conflict. Hallelujah. Blessing in the moment of lack, Lord. We thank you in advance by faith that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give him glory, praise. Pastor.
Please remain standing for a moment. I want to ask those of you who felt a stirring in your heart, like this is the moment. I may have been pushed back before. I may have been discouraged before. I may have not received what I was looking for before. But in faith, I'm going to take a step again. In faith, I'm going to believe in the goodness of God. I'm going to believe that in His mercy, He will touch me, that His love and His virtue will touch my body, will also touch my family. I want you to move out of your seat right now. I'm going to have a few people come and pray. But I want you to take a step. You take a step towards Jesus. Just like the woman who stepped out in the midst of that crowd, got out of her comfort zone and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Sometimes we have to be willing to humble ourselves. Sometimes we have to be willing to even look foolish in the eyes of people. But who cares what people think? I need a miracle and I'm going to get my miracle. I need a healing and I'm going to get my healing. I don't care what people say. I don't care if I've been to the altar a dozen times. I'm going to come again this morning. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's victory in the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would have faith this morning with me. There's power in the name of Jesus. Brother Joel, I want you to start praying. Brother Harry, come on up here. Pastor Angela, I want you to start laying